Welcome to Park Street. We're glad you're here, sensing that you are indeed worshiping the Lord this morning and all of his goodness. A quick housekeeping thing you'll find in your bulletins, nominations for deacons and leadership board. We will be collecting affirmations next week on those candidates, and so wanted to give you that opportunity to review their bios, to pray for them, to reach out to them and let them know that you're thinking of them, and then to affirm or not those individuals next week. We do appreciate your participation in our communal discernment about these things. We think they're very important, and we're grateful for your participation. It is Advent season. It is the season in which we await the coming of the Lord. And it's an interesting time because we are not awaiting an event that has yet to happen, right? it's kind of an interesting thing. We're awaiting the already. I had a friend of mine recently who took his children to a water park for a fun day earlier this summer. And yeah, it wasn't that recently, obviously. And he had a phone, but the phone's not waterproof, and he thought, man, I'd really like to have pictures of my children playing and going down the slide and splashing, and so he bought a disposable waterproof click and roll camera, like one of those old things, you know? And so they had a fun day. He used the whole camera, all the film in it, and then he took it to the place where you take film to be developed. I don't even know what the name of that place is. You know that place? What is it? Drug Mart? He took it to Drug Mart. And he said, hey, I've got this camera. I'd like the film to be developed. And the person said, oh, sure. We'll give you a call in 2 to 3 days when it's ready. And he said, 2 to 3 days? Not like an hour, not like 15 minutes. Not like, and they're like, no, it's like 2 to 3 days. And so after waiting 2 whole days, they called him and said, hey, your film is ready. And he articulated that experience as like surreal because he knows that that was very normative. And also he used the word exhilarating. Like he was so looking forward to looking at these pictures of an event that already took place because he wasn't able to do it instantly, you know. And I like that as an analogy for the Advent season. You know, we are looking back on photos of events that have taken place long, long ago, but rejoicing in them, remembering them, understanding the significance of them. We are awaiting the already, but we do it with great joy and peace. We don't particularly use the liturgical calendar at Park Street Church, with the exception of Advent. And I love that Advent season because the whole point of the church calendar is that we are not in the same rhythm as the world. Right? We don't do things the same way with the same expectations. And so right now, in this time slot, in which the world is busier than ever, with more obligations than ever, with more parties and things to prepare for and year-end celebrations, the church says, this is a time where we're going to get busy waiting and being still and remembering as we gather around the manger and the birth of our Lord. And so this morning, our verses, our text today, it comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and it's the first 17 verses of the Gospel of Matthew, which means we are reading the genealogy of Jesus this morning. I hope you're excited about that. I do want to prepare you for that. We're reading a list of names this morning. That's what we're doing. But we believe that it's the Word of God. It's important to us, and we do it with great joy. And so today, Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 to 17, let's go to the word of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David and the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez, the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nashon. Nashon, the father of Salmon. That sounds so much better than salmon to me. Salmon. The father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. That's cold, by the way. Bathsheba didn't even get a shout out. Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jehoram. Jehoram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah. And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile to Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel was the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abihud. Abihud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Akim. Akim, the father of Elihud. Elihud, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Mathan. Mathan, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who's called the Messiah. Thus, there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. Let's pray together this morning. Jesus, we give you this time to fill how you please. We pause. We stop. We cease in our furious busyness. And we wait. For you, for your promises, for your presence. And we say that this waiting is worth it because the gift is so good. The gift of your Spirit, the gift of reconciliation that comes from knowing you to our Lord and to one another. It's a good waiting when you're waiting on a good thing. Help us, Lord. We pray this in your strong name, and God's people said. There are different kinds of silence. I know you've experienced that in your life. There's a serene silence. I think of the first snowfall every year. Maybe you get up and go out early in the morning before footprints have trampled the freshly fallen snow. And there's a silence there, isn't there? A calm. There's angry silence every married couple has experienced, I'm sure. Somewhere after the argument about whose turn it was to do the dishes, and before one of the two of you is willing to admit defeat by being the first person to speak, right? There's awkward silence. I have a lot of those moments. Every day. I witnessed one the other day in the store. Somebody asked a woman when she was expecting, and she said, "Expecting what?" For my mail to reach you, of course. Right? There's terrible silence. The first time you come into a home after somebody's passed away, there's comfortable silence. The car ride in which nobody speaks because there's nothing to say. You're just enjoying one another's company. If you're wondering what your husband wants for Christmas this year, it's that. He just wants you to be quiet in the car. I just save you a lot of money. Get the man what he wants. Just quit talking to me while I'm driving. That's all I want. Uh, 400 years. That's the amount of time that passes between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament. It's tricky because there's only like one flimsy page that separate them in your Bible. But that flimsy page represents centuries of time in which the people of God were not hearing from him the way they used to. Matthew wants to remind us this morning that we're entering into a story that's very, very old, and that we are awaiting the coming of a God that has promised he would return centuries ago. Matthew takes us all the way back to the founding of this people and the call of Abraham. Matthew wants us to pay particular note that Jesus traces his lineage directly from the father of many nations, Abraham, and also King David. And this list that we could gloss over and, okay, where does the story pick up, in fact represents lives lived, some of them wonderfully in submission to God, some of them terribly in rebellion to God. You take a quick review of that list and you find priests and kings and faithful followers. You also find tyrants and abusers and predators. And they all are part of the story. The story of God's people waiting for their consolation, for the forgiveness of the separation. Genealogy stuff is fascinating. I think I've shared with you before that I have been the recipient of somebody else's very hard work when it comes to our family's genealogy, and that we are able to trace back well before even our family's coming to the United States. And that's fairly rare. I assume it's because our last name is so uncommon. Sometimes people will talk to me and they'll say, I knew a Bebout in this area or this area, and are you related? And the short answer is yes. Eventually, it all goes back to one guy. I can tell you his name. His name was Jan Pieters Bibau. He arrived in the United States in 1687, part of the Dutch colonialization of Staten Island. He changed the spelling of his last name from B-I-B-A-U to B-E-B-O-U-T. And so any version of Bebout or Beabout or Bebow or Bebo, yeah, we're related. When I was younger, telemarketers used to call the house always at dinner time, right? Remember this? And they would always ask to speak with Mr. Bebo. And I would be like, hello, it's him. No. But yeah, eventually genealogies fade away into question marks, don't they? They always do. We can only go back so far. The claim of the people who've been doing research onto my last name is that we can make it back to the 1300s in Belgium, which is quite a long time. But from there, it's just a big question mark. My headcanon is that a Viking who tamed wolves decided to land in the place of chocolate and waffles. Right? In Belgium. And that's where we stayed. That's what I choose to believe. Doesn't matter if it's true. I don't know anything about these folks that came before me. I don't know anything. I know my grandfather, but I never knew his father or his father or his father. I couldn't tell you what their lives meant, what their professions were. It's hard for us to grasp such a long time when we as humans are on this earth for so very short amount of time. But Matthew, before the announcement of Christ's coming, wants us to pause and reflect on the fact that this has been years and centuries and millennia in the making. That this birth of Christ is best understood by pausing before he comes. And here's the challenge that I'm sure you're well aware of. We don't like being quiet these days, right? We avoid it like germs or bad news. We fill our life with noise from the minute the radio wakes us up to the minute we droopily-eyed close the iPad and go to sleep, right? It's just noise all around us constantly, interruptions from our interruptions. There's a lot of interesting research right now about humans in their relationship with silence and stillness. There was a study done in 2000 that measured human attention span, and it was a pretty nationwide study, and they came up with the number of 12 seconds. That's how long we can focus on one thing before, you know, a squirrel or something else shiny catches our eye. That same study was recreated 12 years later in 2012, and that number went down from 12 seconds to 8. Just so you know, we have some pretty good data that says goldfish attention span is 9 seconds. So that's where we're at right now. Recently, the University of Virginia and Harvard did a study together measuring people's comfort with being still and quiet. They took people and they put them in a room with no windows, no screens, no one to talk to. And they asked them to sit there for the hellacious amount of time, 5 minutes. Before the experiment began, they administered to everyone an electronic shock that was not harmful, but painful. Okay? And they selected the group that said, that I did not like that. They selected the group that said, I would pay money to avoid that shock. And that group, they said, okay, we're going to put you in this room for 5 minutes with nothing to do. If the boredom overwhelms you, you can shock yourself. That's the premise. 70% of men end up shocking themselves in this experiment. And 30% of women, which explains everything, I think. I'm starting to sound like an old person, I know this, but I find this deeply troubling. From the list that we read this morning, this genealogy of Christ, give or take 1,500 years. And in that amount of time, life didn't change all that much. When you think about a technological perspective, they were doing pretty much the same things from the time of Abraham to the time of Jesus. And now think of our current life today and how I'm not doing the same things my grandparents were doing. And my grandkids might not be doing the same things I'm doing. The rate of change is alarming, especially when that change includes eliminating something that was so part and parcel to the human experience, namely silence. It's not going to be surprising to anyone in this room that the younger you are, the more trouble statistically they're showing that you have with being still and being quiet. And that's concerning to me, not only just when it comes to being a human being, but certainly when we start thinking about the implication of the gospel and the coming of the Lord that wasn't an instant fix to a problem that happened, but was a plan that unfolded in God's timing and his goodness over centuries in his revelation different chapters, different people, different places, all coming together in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm worried that we're rushing past the waiting and that somehow we're cheapening the gift of our Savior. I'm inviting you maybe this season to push against that, to find a way to say, I want to create and claim space in my day just for quiet reflection, inviting the Lord to find me in those places of stillness. You know, I have a friend who waits a second or two before he answers any question that I ask him. And the effect is that I feel like everything he says is profound. Even simple, mundane questions, when you just give a little silence, there's weight to it all of a sudden, you know? What's your favorite color? It's blue. Oh. Why is that? I like it. He should have a podcast or something. This man is a genius. Just waiting a moment. My house is a zoo. You know this. We've got 3 children, 3 and under. It's full of noise all the time. Someone's either crying or screaming or laughing or all 3, right? And the zoo turned into a monastery this weekend because we shipped them all away. Sent them to Grandma and Grandma's house. Monty and Leah, they went and did errands. And I was just there in my quiet house, just loving my life. If you've ever seen videos online of people hearing for the first time, it's an emotional moment. They get a cochlear implant. They can hear somebody's voice. Everybody starts crying. That was me in reverse. It was just a moment of like, I can't hear anything. And then I wept and ate a hamburger. And my kids were gone for like 24 hours. So like not a lot of time. And I was so excited when they came back. Right? It was just a little. It wasn't a big time away. It was a little. It's just a little time to just quiet and to not be reacting all the time. And I found in that quiet, the Lord and his goodness, my priorities, my shortcomings, all of the things that we sometimes want to avoid, they come rushing in, don't they? And when they came back, I was delighted to have our house full of squeaks and squeals once more. It doesn't take a lot of time to be quiet and to allow silence to do its work in you when you're thinking about the coming of the Lord. I mean, this story we know goes way back before Abraham and his promise that he would be the father of many nations. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve and their fall and humanity's rebellion from God and his plan and their expulsion from the perfect paradise God had created for them. The whole world, creation, had been waiting for the resolution of that story. It came in part with the incarnation of Christ Jesus. Does it feel like in this world, there's just so much noise and tension. There's so much evil. There's so much cynicism. We're waiting for his return. But when you're waiting for a good thing, sometimes the wait can be good. I've been reflecting on things that I want my kids to know. You know, I'm trying to boil down wisdom into little pieces for them so that I can give it to them as they grow up in this world that's going to be different than the world I grew up in. And as I was reflecting and praying this week and asking the Lord to meet me in the silence and in the stillness, he gave me this to give to my children. And this is my hope for them. Most of all, you should be kind. That's what I want to tell my children. But if you can't be kind, at least be honest. And if you can't be honest, at least be quiet. And if you can't be quiet, there's no wonder why you're not honest and kind. Because silence humbles us, and it reminds us that our hope is only found in Christ. I pray this season would be filled with intentionality in your life. It would be filled with choosing to be still, to long for, wait for the presence of God to meet you, to be humbled, to be filled with hope. Let's pray together this morning. Jesus, you are what we have been waiting for. You are the culmination of every desire, of every longing. And we so often miss the glorious gift of your coming because we have filled our baskets to overflowing with cheap and dispensable junk. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for rushing around like chickens with our heads cut off instead of sitting down quietly and positioning ourselves to hear you. Forgive us, Lord, for filling our calendars and emptying our bank accounts on things that do not last. Forgive us, Lord, for not paying attention to the still of the morning or the lull in the afternoon or the quiet before dark. Forgive us for missing those appointments with you. We lean into your mercy, your grace, and we say with absolute confidence that you are our only hope. In this world of struggle, you are our refuge, our hiding place. This morning and every morning, we pray that we would be still and quiet to hear you, and that that gift of your presence would be met with joy and gratitude, that we would treasure them in our hearts. Thank you for this season, for the silence that is full of you, if we would only step into it. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of your Son, the Lord. Thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and receive this benediction this morning. May your paths take you to quiet places where you can hear the still small voice of God and his eternal promises made new in Christ. May you find those places of solitude and silence, and in finding them, find the presence of our Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Go in peace, church. We love you.